Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 15th day of Cheshvan, Tovshin Pei Dalad, Masechta Yevamos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes. Hamevi get Mimdin Asayom, person who brings, he's a shliach, an agent for the husband, brings a get from overseas, from a country outside Israel. V'omar, and he declares, Bafane Nechtav, or Bafane Nechtam. This get was written in front of me, and it was sealed in front of me. Now, the halacha is, as it says in the beginning of Masechta Gittin, that if anyone brings a get from outside Israel, and he brings it to Israel, he has to say a declaration, I saw it written, it was written in front of me, and it was sealed in front of me. He has to say that in Beis Din before he hands over the get. And there are two different reasons brought in the Gemara for this. Rabbah says, because outside Israel, people weren't so fluent in the halachas, and they didn't know that you have to write it lishma. You have to write it in the name of the woman, for the name of the woman who's being divorced. You can't just write it in general for a woman. And because people didn't know these halachas, the Chachamim said if a shliach comes from carrying a get from overseas, he has to say b'fane nechtam, because if he says it was signed and sealed in front of me, that will come to the clarification of, well, was it written properly? Was it sealed properly as well? Or, as some explain, by the very declaration it was written and signed in front of me, by saying that, he's actually testifying that it was written lishma. Another opinion, Rava says no. Rava says the reason is for the necessity for a shliach who's bringing a get from overseas, why does he have to say it was written and sealed in front of me? It's because there were not edim around to be able to confirm it. What does that mean? According to Rabbah, he's not worried about the get being possible when it comes from overseas, but he was worried about what happens if the husband comes from overseas and he comes to Israel and he says, that get you've got, it's a forgery, rubbish. What's halach in such a case? Whenever a husband denies the validity of a get, it requires then to be mekuyim, it has to be confirmed. How do you confirm it? You confirm it by getting the witnesses who signed on that get to affirm that they, in fact, recognize their signatures. Yes, we signed this get. Or you get other people who can confirm these signatures are of A and B or Reuven Shimon. We confirm that. That's the way to confirm it. And once that's happened, once that is done, the husband cannot claim forgery. But that's all very well if you've got the witnesses around, if you're able to get them. But when a get comes from overseas, says Rava, it could be sometimes very difficult for us to get the edim to confirm that they recognize these are their signatures. And therefore, if the husband comes and claims a forgery, the woman doesn't have anything to stand on. She doesn't have anything to confirm the get. So to avoid such a situation, or to remedy such a situation, the Chachamim said, any time a shliach brings a get from overseas, he must declare it was written and signed and in front of me. And once he does that, that's like edim coming along. That's like edim confirming the signature. And then if a husband comes and claims forgery, he will not be believed at all. The husband can't do anything anymore. Whatever it is, either one of these two reasons, either because of they're not boki lishma, or because the edim are not found in overseas, that's what the shliach has to say. And if he brings a get from overseas, this shliach, and he says, I saw this, it was written in front of me, and it was sealed in front of me. Yes, we trust the validity of the get, but then we say, don't marry the woman. Lo yisos ishtai. You, the shliach, who bring that get, don't. Because since we relied on you to authorize this get, we suspect that if you're now going to marry this woman, there's some funny business going on here. Maybe you're not telling the truth. You're just saying this so you can release her from her husband and now marry her. Mace, what happens if the person who testified, the person who comes and testifies for a woman, your husband died? Or he says, Haragtiv, I killed your husband. Or he says, Haragnu, we killed him. So in such a case, we allow women to get married, because the halacha is a woman can get married even on the basis of one single witness who says the husband died. And therefore we say, if the person comes and test and says this, lo yisos ishtai, we tell the witness, no, you cannot marry his wife. Same reason. And that is because since we are relying on the witness's testimony to allow this woman to get married, we are worried maybe he's only saying that because he wants to marry her. Maybe there's some funny business, maybe he's telling a lie. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do we not allow him to marry the wife, but one of these cases, we won't even allow the wife to get married. Haraktif, if he says, I killed him. If the aide says, the witness says, I killed him, we won't allow the woman to get married. Why? Even to someone else. Because if he says, I killed him, then he's a Rasha. And he's a Rasha, cannot be fit to testify. Altoshes yadchim Rasha liyesed chomos. There is a pasuk in the Torah telling us, mishpatim, you cannot join forces with a Rasha to be a false witness. And the Gemara learns, Altoshes Rasha aid, you don't let a Rasha be an aid, a witness. Haragnuhu, says Rabbi Yehuda, if he says we killed him, okay, then we won't say he's possible, because we killed him doesn't mean I killed him. It means that I was with someone who killed him. But it's then we would allow him to testify. And therefore, Haragnuhu tinase ishtai. If he says we killed him, then Rabbi Yehuda says we can allow his wife to get married. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is that even in a case where the witness says, I killed him, we will still allow the woman to get married. He can't marry her, but we will allow the woman to get married. Why? And the reason is because they have halacha, ein adam meisim atzmei rasha. A person cannot make himself a rasha. You can't testify against yourself. We have a rule, adam karov etzel atzmei. A person is close to himself. Just like you can't testify for a relative, you are your closest relative. You can't testify for yourself. You're not trusted to. So what do? The Chachamim hold that what we do is we do what's called palgin and dibura. We split his words into two. So when the witness came along to court and he says, she can get married, I killed him. What we do is we split his testimony. We say, we don't believe you that you killed him, that you killed the husband, but we do believe that the husband's dead. So we split the testimony into two. He's dead, that part we believe. How did he die? I killed him? No, that we don't believe. He was killed, we trusted, but not that you killed him, because you can't make yourself a Rasha. And for that reason, the Chacham say that in all these cases, even in the case where he says, I killed him, we will allow the woman, the wife, to get married. She's not an Aguna, she won't be an Aguna. However, he cannot marry her because of suspicion. Mishnah Yud. We bring a third case where there could be suspicion, and therefore we don't allow a man to marry someone's wife. Let's have a look. Hechacham she'osar se'isha beneder al baila. What happens if a chacham came along, or a woman came along to a chacham, and she says to him, look, I made a vow that I'm never ever going to have hana'ah from a husband. Basically, they can't be together. They need a divorce unless she gets out of this vow. Now, a woman or a man can get out of a vow by doing what's called hataras nadarim. You go to a chacham and you explain to the chacham, look, I made such and such a vow, I didn't realize, etc. And if the chacham will try to find a way out of the vow, out of the neder, and then they can stay married together. But here we have a chacham who could not find any pesach harada. He could not find any way out of the vow. And therefore, he basically says, sorry, you'll need to get divorced. If he does that, we say, okay, that's you, the Chacham, ruled that way, but don't you dare marry her. Once again, because if he does marry her, it puts him under suspicion that the only reason that he could not find a Pesach Harata, the only reason he did not matter her neder, was because he wanted to marry her. He had his eyes on her. Me'ana o'shechaltza b'fanav. What happens if you have an orphaned minor who got married by her mother or her brothers? She's orphaned from her father. And the halacha is that whilst she's still underage, under bas mitzvah, she can do what's called miyun. She can just refuse the marriage. She can get up one day and just say, I don't want to be with that man anymore. When she does that, she's out of that marriage. She doesn't need a get. That is the formality. And she can do that in front of a chacham or with a beis din. Or the case of chaltza b'fanav. Chaltza b'fanav means she, the Yavama, didn't get married, didn't have Yibum done to her. The brother-in-law gave her chalitza in front of the chacham. Can the chacham marry her under these circumstances? And the answer is yes. Yisa ana, says the Mishnah, the chacham is allowed to take her as a wife. And what's the reason? Mipnei shehu beis din. That's because both of these steps, the miyun, refusal, or chalitza, has to be done in front of a beis din, not in front of an individual. And whereas we do suspect an individual of such things, we don't suspect a whole beis din. And therefore we say, because it's not the chacham himself who authorized this miyun, it was done in this refusal, it was done in front of a beis din. Similarly, the chalitza is done in front of a beis din. So therefore we say that the chacham of that beis din is allowed to marry her. This is in contrast to the previous case of Hataras Nadarim. Hataras Nadarim can be done by a mumcha, a yachid mumcha, a single person, just in front of the chacham. And therefore we are worried that, you know, if he marries her straight away, we are worried that he might have had his eyes on her, and that's why he couldn't find a way out of her nadir. B'chulon, says the Mishnah. And all of these cases, whether it's a person, a shliach who brought a get from overseas, whether it's a witness who says, I saw my husband died, or whether it's a chacham who's mater the neder, in all of these cases, if these people, these men, any of these men, had other wives, shehoyalem noshim, they already were married, at the time that they brought the get, at the time that he get testimony, at the time that he paskened, he couldn't find a pesach harata, Vomeso, even though those wives died afterwards, Mutaris el Nasalahem, they're allowed to be married to the woman who they testified for, or they couldn't find a Hataras Nadarim for. Now, why? Why don't we suspect that he's got his eyes on that woman's also? After all, you're allowed to marry more than one wife, certainly in those days. And the reason is because it was very uncommon. Yes, you could marry two wives or more than one wife, but because it was so uncommon, we do not suspect that he's doing all of this in order to get married to that woman. B'chulon, and all of these cases, all the women that we said cannot be married to the people under suspicion, to the shliach or the aid or the chacham, shenisu la'acherim, that got married to other people first, v'niskorshu, and got divorced from these other people, or shenisalman, or got widowed from them, Mutaros linosilhan, are allowed to be married to the shliach, to the witness, or to the chacham, and we do not suspect that they specially did it in order to get married to her. Why? Because it's after zman. It's after some time. A person is not going to go to the extreme of dafka, testifying falsely in the hope that after they get married to someone, that maybe then they'll get married to her. It's not going to work. That type of suspicion we do not have. And finally, says the Mishnah, v'chulon, all these women, even at the time that they're osa to the shliach and the aid and the chacham, even in the case where they are osa to these people, mutaros livneihem v'lachein, they are perfectly allowed, perfectly permitted to be married to the children of the person who's under suspicion, or the brothers of the person who's under suspicion. Why? Because we have a rule, Ein adam chayta v'lo lo. A person does not commit a sin for someone else's benefit, not for his son's benefit, not for his brother's benefit.